Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. This is the order of worship for today. The call to worship comes from Psalms chapter 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Let us rise for the first song, The Servant King.
Christ will serve me. This is
Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us through it all. We thank you for coming down to earth, not to be served, but instead to serve us, and for being the ultimate sacrifice to follow you. As we continue in worship, help us to align our hearts with yours and to bring the focus back to you, that we are focused on you and you only. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Father, thank you for being with us through it all. As we approach the sermon today, let us reflect on the words of the next song and remember that through the difficult times, we shall always look towards you and actively choose to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The next song is requested by Pastor as he was preparing for the message today. Let us prepare our hearts for the sermon by singing this new song, Yes I Will. The worship team will lead once first, but please join in if you are familiar with the song. I found a way, same
churches to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
The sermon today is titled The Same God, from Genesis 8, verses 1 to 5, 15 to 19, and chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. The speaker today is Pastor Leon. May I invite Sister Louise for the scripture reading?
God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. And at the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all that flesh that is on the earth." Okay, this is the word of God.
Thank you very much, Sister Louise, and thank you very much, Joshua and the worship team. So we're continuing in Genesis. Last time that we were in Genesis, we were in chapter 6 and chapter 7, the starting of the story of Noah, and now we are continuing to the end of the story of Noah in chapter 8 and chapter 9, the same God. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we give you thanks. Father, you're a good and faithful God, and you've come down and you've called us to follow you. Lord, you called us to follow you and to have faith. And Lord, you are the same God. You are the same God who never fails us. You never leave us, never forsake us, Lord. And so I pray that as we go into your word today, that you'll let your call be heard to us clearly and strongly through your word. This same God that's calling us to follow you, that will never fail us, Lord, and let faith arise through the hearing of your word. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The same God of Noah, same God of you and me, same God that never fails. I want to begin with a story. You might have heard of this news story recently that came out of Western Australia that made the international headlines at the start of February this year. It's all about a 13-year-old boy named Austin Appleby who made this superhuman feat of swimming over 4 kilometers for over 4 hours to save his mom and his two siblings who were stranded at sea. It started out warm and sunny, you know, in calm waters off the picturesque coastline in Busselton, which is south of Perth. Perfect conditions for the mum, Joanne Appleby, and her three young children to go out for one last paddle along the shore in a rented kayak and 2 paddle boards. Before they would then head home after the school holidays. But as they set out, in the next moment, the winds picked up swiftly. And soon, one of the paddleboards flips over. Then an oar is lost. And then the kayak that they were in begins filling with water. And before they knew it, the currents were growing really strong, too strong for Joanne to try to tow her 3 kids back to shore in the sinking kayak. And at that moment, Joanne Appleby had to make one of her hardest decisions as a mum, sending out her oldest boy, Austin, by himself in the waterlogged kayak to head back to shore to try to get help. And then she tied her 2 other children by ropes to the paddleboards as she watched Austin then disappear out in the distance. Joanne Appleby knew that she had to comfort her children. So she kept them singing and talking and, you know, discussing about their plans for dinner and thinking about some of the things that they liked very much to do. But as the sun began to set, so did Joanne's hopes begin to fade. Cold, exhausted, worried about what happened to Austin, Joanne Appleby feared that this was the end. And then all of a sudden, a huge wave came and flipped over the boards again. And this time the children were separated from their mum and floating away. And it was at this point around 8:30 at night, when it was dark and all seemed lost, that miraculously then a rescue helicopter appeared out of the sky, followed by a boat then to pick them up. Austin Appleby had made it. When I first heard the story on the news, like everyone else, of course, you know, I was amazed at Austin's superhuman feat. But after reading the interview with the family, what caught my attention was the mom's side of things. Because, you know, sometimes while swimming and striving against the storm is hard, it's a challenge. But sometimes it feels like it keeps us busy and in control. But what do you do when you're like Joanne Appleby and when it feels like everything is out of your hands? When you feel like you're being swept out to sea and the shoreline of safety, familiarity, security, all is just slowly seeming to disappear. Maybe it's a dream that you once had. Maybe it's a lost opportunity that you still regret. Maybe it's just the uncertainty of what the future that is coming on fast is going to hold. And like Joanne, you know, you feel like you're on unstable footing, adrift on a raft that's always in danger of taking on more and more water and then capsizing. Well, in our passage today, Noah too faced that same fear and same uncertainty. You know, God had told him earlier on, I will send rain for 40 days and 40 nights. So maybe Noah hunkered down and he said, yes, you know, God, I can do this. 40 days, 40 nights. And at the end of the 40 nights, exhausted, Noah waits and waits and waits, and God is silent. But the floods still are prevailing over the earth day after day after day after the 40. And Noah goes, okay, God, you know, I know you're going to come true. And then night and day and night and day and night again, the repeated cycle and silence and the sound of waves and the spatters of rain still outside, but no sound of God's voice. And Noah waits. And within the dark walls of the ark, waiting, 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 and wondering what's going on outside, wondering what will happen, wondering when will this ever end, wondering, where is God? Has God forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, do you feel like you're in the same boat, adrift with worries and uncertainty, and you wonder, Lord, am I going to make it? What did I get myself into? Have I left my life behind just to step into the boat with God? All for nothing? Well, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today to take heart, because the same God who was in control over that same boat with Noah, and at the right time, according to God's timing and purpose, 150 days it says, and then God came true for Noah. This is the same God who is in control of your life and your situation, in whatever boat that you feel that you're in today. And in the same way, this same God will come true for you too. And isn't it amazing, you know, that we see this covenant sign in Genesis? That is, we read about it in Genesis, but it's still relevant and it's still in effect even today. Have you ever let that amazing thought just sink in? That already, you know, today we look out when it rains, we see the rainbow, and it reminds us already of the same God, the same grace of God, and the same promises are all still relevant and still true today to you and to me, just as they were to Noah in Genesis. Because our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But there's a few more truths, same truths today about this same God that I want to show you today. Three more truths. And I want to show you these three truths about God here in Genesis, which God showed to Noah. And I want to show you these same three truths of this same God in the Gospels, which he showed to his disciples. And then I want to show you these same three truths about God and how they apply all the same to you and to me, even today. And that you can face whatever worries, whatever uncertainty that you have, because we have the same God. So brothers and sisters, first, you can face your worries because your God is the same God who remembers his people. So Genesis 8 begins right from the first verse with a beautiful turning point in the story. And it's all encapsulated by one of the most wonderful phrases ever known, that it says, but God remembered Noah and all who were with him in the ark. What does it mean that God remembered Noah? Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, God left the tap running, he went to do something else, and then 150 days later, suddenly, oh no, Noah, dear me, quick, better go and shut off the tap. But rather, you know, when the Bible is speaking of God's remembering, it speaks of God's turning his attention and his action towards his people. So it's just like when we say today, you know, we remember to do something important. It means that we direct our attention and our action towards this important thing. So brothers and sisters, you know, is there a situation in your life where you have felt overwhelmed? Where the storms have been battering your ship day after day after day nonstop, and it seems like there's no end in sight? That the waters just keep rising up virtually to your limit, and it's hard not to feel like, you know, God, if you don't come through now, I'm just going to go under. Well, here's what I want to bring you to. An amazing story as well in the Gospels, centuries later. A story about the disciples of Christ. Disciples same as you and me. Followers of the same God, Jesus Christ. In the same situation, in a boat, in a storm, and wondering if they would make it through. This story is in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And it tells us that, you know, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And then a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern and he was asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And so, you know, the disciples were filled with fear because they thought that God had forgotten them, God had abandoned them, God did not care if they were going to drown. You know, do you sometimes feel the same as well? But brothers and sisters, then take heart, because the same as the story of Noah, the story of the disciples like you and me, is the story of the same God of both boats. And therefore, the story of the same God to you and me, whatever the boat that you're in. And so then, in God's precise timing, you know, no more or no less, God had remembered Noah in his story, in his precise timing, no more or no less. Here in Mark verse 39, it says, Jesus arose and calmed the waves. And so then, brothers and sisters, all the same to us, that in the fullness of time, no more, no less, the same God remembered us. Jesus arose and triumphed over the grave, over all the torrents of sin and death, and lifted up to rest with him safely in the heavenly realms. And so, of course not, this very same God will never leave you nor forsake you, nor will this same God ever withhold any more good thing from you. This same God says in his word that even if a mother forgets her nursing child, I will not forget you. Isaiah 49 verse 15. So brothers and sisters, you know, whatever that it is your concern at the moment, whatever circumstances right now in your life that seem out of your control, know for certain that yours is the same God who remembers all his dear children. As he remembered Noah, as he remembered the disciples, so he remembers you. Secondly, brothers and sisters, you can face your worries because your God is the same God who directs your purpose. So Genesis chapter 8, verse 15 brings us to another wonderful phrase. Then God said to Noah. Then God spoke again to Noah. This is what he said. He said, go out of the ark, bring every living thing that is with you, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Brothers and sisters, do you worry that you are losing sense of meaning in your life? That it is hard to find significance for what your life is supposed to be? But this is the same God who delights to make known his purposes to his children, who delights in directing his children in the purpose that was specifically intended for each and every one of you, even before the creation of the world. And so Noah waited upon this same God, even when all seemed lost. And then God spoke and instructed him in his perfect and pleasing plan. Same God in the gospel, Jesus was pleased to make known his plans to his disciples, to make known their purpose ahead of time, saying in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "Let us go across to the other side." You know, and the trouble with us as disciples, the trouble with these disciples and the trouble with us is that a lot of times we forget what God has said in advance. We lose focus of what Jesus has told us. And so then, that's the reason why fear takes the place of faith. Fear replaces the purpose of God in our minds. But brothers and sisters, God delights to make his purpose known to all his children. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given." And you can notice in the case of the boat Noah, the boat of the disciples, that all of those who wait and seek God's purpose will never be let down by God. You see, because in the story of Noah, it must have taken lots of time and materials to build the ark at a time when there weren't any signs at all of rain or flood, any signs at all of God's vindication for a long, long time to come. And yet Noah submitted wholeheartedly to God's will. And Noah was not embarrassed in the end, but he was vindicated in the end. And similarly, with the disciples then, it must have taken a lot of guts and a lot of thick skin for the disciples to follow this lowly carpenter who's supposed to be the Messiah. And when it came time to cross the Sea of Galilee with him on their mission with Jesus, maybe it was different for them. Maybe there were signs that it was already going to rain and that the waters were already going to be choppy. But yet, they stepped into the boat at the word of this carpenter. And what's more, the same God who spoke and commanded Noah to be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth is the same God who commissions all his disciples to be spiritually fruitful and to fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord. No, brothers and sisters, you know, I think we often miss this part in the story of Noah, that on the surface level, you know, when we read it, you know, it seems like a story of just, okay, God promising never again to destroy the earth by flood. So we take that, and then we read it and it's okay, now we have peace. We have peace with God. Now go out and live. Live however that you want. And that's how we sometimes see our Christian lives as well. That we have peace with God now. We have been forgiven. Now what? Can live however you want. Now we just, what's next? Just waiting for heaven? But it's actually more than that. The rest of the story of Noah is actually not just a story of peace, but it's a story of renewed purpose as well, of God renewing the same purpose that he spoke to Adam when he created all things, his same purpose to humanity. He's showing in this story that his same purpose is the purpose that nothing can stand against, that no flood can ever drown out. And that's what the sign of the rainbow today should remind us of as well, of our renewed purpose. And it should remind us to make the most then of trying to redeem our days, not just living for the material and for the mundane, but to seek after God's purpose. You're living for all these other things. That's the way that all the other people lived aimlessly before the flood. But Noah sought God's purpose. So, brothers and sisters, you know, our young people, youth, young adults, find your God-given calling. Stand in it. And even if your whole world is wiped out, God will make you stand and you will never be ashamed of following his purpose. Jesus said this, in fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, those who submit to God's purpose, for they shall never lose out on anything, but just like Noah, they shall inherit the earth. So young people, no, you will never, never, never lose out. Whenever you submit your life to God's purpose, the career, the frills, you know, all the other things that your peers and the popular media is trying to sell you today that you need those things, they're trying to mold you and conform you to the pattern of this world, all these things are just the side quest. But the meek shall inherit the earth. And so, brothers and sisters, young people, you know, get into the word. Keep your eyes and your ears fixed on God's instructions. He's always wanting and delighting to speak to you. The same God who spoke to Noah, he still speaks again all the same through his word. So listen out for his voice. Step out in his promise. Step out in his purpose. Because God is the one who will preserve you. God is the one who will promote you, and this same God is the one who will prosper you as well. And thirdly, brothers and sisters, you can face your worries because your God is the same God who keeps his promises. So Genesis chapter 9, verse 8 to 17 now brings us to a third most wonderful phrase. That God again comes and he speaks to Noah. God speaks, chapter 9, verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, now behold, and then it goes on here, behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you. And this is repeated again and again in these verses. You know, verse 11, I establish my covenant with you. Verse 12, again, God affirms his promise with a sign of the covenant. This is the sign of the covenant which I'm making between you and every living creature and all successive generations. Verse 13, I set my bow in the clouds. You know, he repeats it again as a guarantee. This shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Then verse 15, he combines these two wonderful things. You know, he says in verse 15, I will remember my covenant, meaning now that this God that remembers, you know, this covenant has his utmost attention, his utmost guarantee that he's going to act upon it faithfully. This is not just some dodgy sales contract, you know, that's drawn up, and then after that you sign the contract and then you're left on your own, you know, buyer's remorse. But then he states again in verse 16, then I will see this sign that I've placed, and I will remember the everlasting covenant. This is a contract that has even a greater than even a lifetime guarantee. It's more than that. It's everlasting. And then finally, he caps off this whole thing in verse 17, again repeating the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and you and all flesh. He's ending off as if, again, you know, to give that guaranteed stamp, chalk, seal, to sign off, you know, it's an ironclad contract of eternal grace. Grace and grace and grace upon grace. You know, guys, do you think that God might be trying to say something really, really important to us here. And that he really, really, really means what he's saying. Interestingly, the word that he uses for this sign, the rainbow, is the Hebrew word for the weapon of war, actually, you know, the bow, as in bow and arrow kind of bow, the same word. And so Jewish tradition, you know, took this as a sign of God saying that he's laying aside his weapons, he's laying aside his anger and his judgment, and he's now declaring peace. Brothers and sisters, you know, centuries later, that same God in the Gospels would confirm his peace by another sign when Christ made peace through the blood of the cross. This is why the Bible can say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that there is no more fear in love, because his perfect love, the love that he showed when the same God displayed his love fully on the cross, that perfect love casts out all of the fear of punishment, all of the fear of condemnation, because Christ, the same God, took the condemnation that was meant to be ours on his cross. And so, brothers and sisters, the same God that established peace with us and his favor, this is why, brothers and sisters, that in the face of whatever storms of life, the same God, Jesus, calls on his disciples to not fear, but to have faith. So back again to the boat, in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And to us today, the same God who calls us to follow him into the boat, he calls us too, not to fear, but to place our faith in him, that what he says, what he promises, he will do, and he will bring us to the other side to fulfill his purposes in us. Because the same God of the rainbow is the same God of the cross, is the same God who establishes his covenant of everlasting peace and God's favor with all who receive him as their God and follow him. So, brothers and sisters, in the face of our worries and uncertainty, do you believe that Jesus, the same God, he should be the last place on earth that you need to feel that you are fearful? The last place, instead of turning to God, the last thing you ever need to ask God is like these disciples, to ask, "Lord, do you not care?" Because the sign of the rainbow, the sign of the cross, all of these things answer with a resounding yes, God cares, and God will confirm all his promises towards you to give you his peace and to give you his favor. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus invites you to no longer fear. But this is an invitation today to have faith in him once again. And I want to say one word of assurance to us, though, that, like, you know, as long as we're here on the earth, you know, as long as we're in this human, weak flesh, faith might never be the absence of all doubt and all fear. But what Jesus is calling us to here is simply to not let fear gain the upper hand and to take over our lives. To not let fear take over and precedence over trusting in Jesus instead. And then Jesus tells them, he's saying that the cure for their fear is to have faith. Okay, so you might be thinking now, okay, Pastor, you know, this sounds like a very circular reasoning, right? You know, so you're saying that if I'm fearful and I'm losing faith, then the cure that Jesus is saying is to have faith, you know? So what do you mean? Blind faith, you know, just believe? No. This is what we mean by faith, okay? So it's here in this passage as well. The question at the end of the story with Jesus in verse 41, the disciples are confronted with this question that they ask themselves, and they ask themselves, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Brothers and sisters, that's the question that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to face. And that is where you will find all the answers that you need. Who is this? Do you know who your God is? And so Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 tells us, the enemy will try to seduce us. He will try to lead as many astray away from God's covenant. He will try to make you lose heart and to turn aside from God to other things. But he says, the people who know their God shall stand firm and do great things. So whatever that fear you feel, whatever that bit of doubt, that uncertainty, even that discontent, you know, yes, we'll never be rid of it totally, but it's not necessarily the problem if they drive us towards knowing God more. So in other words, let that be the driving force that keeps you going towards knowing God more. Just like Austin Appleby, who's pressing against the waves. Pressing against it, because that's where life is found, and that's where your life is found, in knowing God. In spite of my fears, in spite of my doubts, I press on to know him. You know, remember that on the flip side of things, the people living in Noah's day, you know, they were all living as if they had no fear at all, no worries, no cares, no uncertainty, you know, no regard to God at all. And yet the flood came and they were all devastated. While on the other hand, as an assurance to us, you know, it's likely, very likely that Noah had all sorts of doubts, even fear. You know, the end of the story at the end of chapter 9 shows that Noah was a fallen man. You know, he was not perfect at all. The only thing that he really had about him was just like his name. You know, Noah literally means rest. Noah rested in God. He leaned upon who God is, and not on his own understanding. And in the end, this God resting brought him through. I want to show you all one more interesting thing, one more extra truth about God that's found even in the little details about the timing of the ark. Okay, so we go back to the start in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. And so it says, you know, at the end of the 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. What's significant here? Is it that the 17th day of the 7th month, you know, in our calendar happens to be my birthday? And then in the next verse, you know, the first day of the 10th month, October, is Laureen's birthday? I mean, that's a very cool and very funny fact. But no, that's not the significance. Okay, back to, you know a little bit about your pastor. The significance. What's significant about this is that in the Hebrew calendar, by the time of Moses, right? So Moses, who wrote Genesis, in the time of him already, in the seventh month, which would have been around April for them in the Hebrew calendar, on the 14th day of the seventh month was the day of the Passover, when they commemorated God's deliverance of them. So the 17th day of the seventh month would have been 3 days after the Passover. Centuries later, the same God in the Gospels, Jesus, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, which would have been 3 days after the Passover, it came to be the same day that Jesus rose from the dead again. So brothers and sisters, you know, I want you to know that this is the amazing testimony of Scripture, is that our salvation is not a coincidence, but it's all been carefully planned and deliberately orchestrated step by step by step in the same thread by the same God in Genesis who made the ark to rest upon the Mount Ararat. Is the same God of the Gospel who made all who are in Jesus Christ to rest eternally on Mount Zion, the dwelling place of the Lord. It's all carefully orchestrated and planned by God, and none of it has failed. The same God in Genesis, same God in the Gospels. How then, brothers and sisters, will not this God, the same God with the same intricate care, carry out his plan, carefully orchestrated, his plan for all your life, all the way to completion in Christ? This same God, the God who remembers you, who gladly directs your purpose, and who keeps all his promises to you. So don't be afraid to follow him and to fix your faith firmly in him. Let us pray. Father, you've given us these wonderful words of assurance in Genesis, in the gospel of who you are. This same God who never fails, and you won't fail us now, Lord. So we look to you again, Lord. I pray that you would bless my brothers and sisters, whatever that they're going through right now, whatever uncertainty about the future, whatever fears, whatever doubts, Lord, nothing can separate us from your love. It is clear. So even though we are weak and we have fears, Lord, we can come to you with faith again to fix our faith in you, the same God who has called us, who remembers us. You are glad to direct my brothers and sisters and every young person here in their purpose. Lord, I pray that they would fix their eyes firmly on you and that you would speak to them and help them to stand on all your promises in Jesus Christ. I give you thanks for this word. May you birth in us a newfound faith to follow you all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us take a minute to reflect on the word. These are the various ways you can give your offering. Church, please rise for the doxology. Pastor, for the corporate prayer and announcements.
Okay, we'll go on to a couple of announcements. Church, remember that today, this afternoon, right after the service, so there won't be any lunch, just a quick one, will be the EGM. We'll be voting on that item that you've all been sent the papers on, and then after that, we will dismiss from there. Church camp, thank God for the wonderful sign-ups. You know, again, if you still have any, you know, friends that you want to go, do let us know as soon as possible, and then, you know, make a payment by 3rd of May. Yep. So again, a reminder, it's coming soon. Good Friday worship, we'll have a time of worship and reflection, same time, 10:45 a.m. And then after that, we can all like go for lunch together. And then on Easter Sunday itself, continue to invite your friends. The e-invites have gone out to you through the WhatsApp, through the emails. You can find it also on our website under the tab Upcoming Events. You can find it on our public Facebook page as well. And I'll put it up on the Google page as well. Yeah, there's a lunch after the service as well. So, you know, do let your family and friends know. And then after that, we will be going to East Coast for our baptism. And so, right now, we have this wonderful young man who has joined us recently. We've just completed our sessions with the baptism class. I'm going to miss those times together. But out of this wonderful time now, I'd like to hand over the time for him to share his testimony. So let's welcome Han.
Hi everybody, I'm Han. Let me just share my story of how I got to know Christ. So growing up, I never had really had a life without him, without Christ. I was born into a Christian family, and I've only ever been to Methodist schools and a Methodist church my whole life, up until now. So the idea of God was definitely not new to me. However, despite listening to morning devotions and having to pray almost daily in school, I felt as though I was just doing it for the sake of it, without putting much thought into it. That made me realize that I don't actually have a personal relationship with God. So I knew who he was on paper, knew about Christian doctrines, and could even recite my favorite verses from the Bible. But I had never talked to him. So when I was 15, I questioned the existence of God. I started to stray away from him and stray away from the church. I explored various other religions and entertained the idea of agnostic theism, which is the idea that there's a God, but humans will never know the God. Funnily enough, what really brought me back to Christ was Pascal's wager, a take that there was more to gain by believing in Christ than not. As I was reading more about the wager, it ended up piquing my interest back in Christianity, causing me to read more about Christ and the gospel. As a result, my belief in Christianity became stronger and was not out of any self-interest. At that point, I had a feeling like I was being called back to him. To strengthen my connection with Christ, I also decided to start praying more often, and not just in the past, like when I needed him only. I also became much more involved in my previous church and contributed in the different ways that I could. However, when I was 17, I slowly stopped attending church again, but still continued helping out with my church's ministry. Even though I still wanted to help the church, I felt like I hadn't really connected with anyone there, and even questioned whether fellowship, which included attendance of church, was necessary to be a Christian. However, things took a turn again last year. I was encouraged by Chloe to try attending church again. She felt that fellowship was important, and she wanted me to go back, no matter which church I went to. At the time, Praise had their church camp, and I ended up being invited as a guest. From then on, I started to attend service at Praise more often, and I felt like I had found a home. This made me realize how important fellowship is in my faith. I've really appreciated everyone for how they've readily accepted me into Praise. And of course, I thank God, who has graciously given me this opportunity to get to know him better, and of course, get to know everyone in Praise. Let me end with my favorite Bible verse from Galatians 6, verse 9, which reads, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Han. So this wonderful young man who's like committed his life to Christ and now is going to walk through the waters of baptism, we want to pray for him today. So I invite him to come. And church, would you rise and then you can stretch forth your hands and let's pray for Father, I give you thanks for this wonderful young man, Lord, a young man who's so full of potential, Lord, and I thank you so much for your grace in his life, Lord, that you have called him and that he has heard your call and that he's answering your call, Lord Jesus, to follow you all the way, to follow your footsteps, Lord Jesus, and take you as his Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for all the potential that you've placed in him. I thank you for this journey of faithfulness that you've brought him through, Lord, a testimony to your grace in his life, Lord. And you see all this potential within him and you see his heart for you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would keep that fire hot and that you continue to burn for you, Lord Jesus. And even as he takes these first steps, Lord, I pray that we as a church also would surround him and be an encouragement to him, Lord, to build up this young man in his calling from Jesus Christ. Lord, we identify the gifts within him. We identify that passion for your word and that passion to serve you, Lord Jesus. May we also be faithful to encourage him and to edify him and build him up in discovering all these gifts, that he would become and discover the man that you want him to be, that you are calling him to be, Lord. So I give you thanks for Han. May you continue to prepare him as he prepares himself to follow in your footsteps in baptism. We give you thanks in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, may be seated.
Sorry, please rise again for the closing song.
You have no equal, now and forever. powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name.
Church, remain standing for the benediction. You know, church, today the word that we looked at, the same God who remembers us, who keeps all his promises, who directs us in his purpose, this is the reason, this is the same thing that we proclaim every week in the benediction when we say that the Lord bless you and keep you, to make his face shine upon you, is to show you his favor, his grace to you, his peace to you, and to be gracious to you, to make his purposes and his promises established and known to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you, is that he turns his attention and his action towards you to give you peace, because he has torn down all the barriers, all the walls, and he has made peace for us forever and ever. This is the amazing thing that we pronounce each week in the benediction. So church, would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. And the Lord lift up his countenance towards you in whatever fears and uncertainties that you have as you look to him. And the Lord give you his peace and his favor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Service is dismissed. Let us prepare for our EGM.